This is an MUT Radio podcast. Radio,
as I promised you earlier onwards, we will have Dr. Ngobelo is going to be joining me live right here in studio just to unpack all of these things. So I'm just going to quickly welcome him on the show. Doc, welcome to MUT Radio.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Thank you so much, my brother.
Yeah, we appreciate you as well. Thank you very much for taking a little bit of your time and coming here to discuss this matter. But maybe before we get into this interview, maybe if you could share something about yourself. What is your role here at MUT?
Good day to you guys and good day to the listeners. I'm Dr. Ndumiso Ngobela, a lecturer in the Department of Agriculture. I teach first-year students, second-year, third-year, and advanced. And also, I'm actively involved in research and community engagement. So I've got a variety of projects that we discuss with you guys offline about pork consumption. So,
Okay, nice. Maybe we'll just get straight into it because we are talking about a foot and mouth disease. Maybe for someone who might not know what does that actually mean, maybe if you can take us through that.
Foot and mouth disease is in isiZulu called amatele.
Oh, yeah, it's amatele.
It is a viral disease which spread very fast. That disease normally affects your cattle, your sheep, your goats, and your pigs. One thing common about these four animal species I've told you about is that their wolves are splitted, so meaning that this FMD affects the splitted wolves hoofs. Okay, so unlike horses where they've got a solid hoof, so hoof meaning in selwane, when an animal feet is in selwane, so meaning if they're splitted, it affects those type of animals instead of solid hooves. So yeah.
That is something, because I want us to know now, because there was this outbreak and there was a stop in ukwabelana kwenyama between here and other countries. Maybe if you can take us through that, because I want to know how much is the impact, or how impactful is this, or maybe can it be transferred to umuntu, because you know what the effect is, Luane, but if you somehow consume inyama of an animal that might have this disease, maybe what is the impact on you as a person?
This FMD had a huge impact in terms of sales, okay, in terms of trades as well, because of the nature to which it spreads. Because of now, that means that because of it's a rapid spread of disease, so it can easily affect an animal through contact. So the government has come up with an intervention to limit the movement of these animals. So if you limit the movement of these animals, meaning now you cannot export these animals and animal products coming from these animals, that will have a huge impact economically. So in terms of consumption now, there's no impact in terms of consuming the animal that is infected by this. Okay, so it's safe to consume an animal that has been infected. However, because of we are limiting the spread of it.
Yes.
So meaning now the animals that you want to go to abattoir for sales, they're going to be limited. The meaning there's going to be less available of meat from the shelves as well, because now we're trying to limit the spread of this disease. So however, the consumption of it is quite safer to consume it. But we were trying to limit the spread of it, because now it's highly contagious disease. So we are trying to limit it, limiting the local the movement of these animals.
Wow. Yeah. Now, you also touched on Nguti, most likely to get infected are cattle, sheep, also pigs. Maybe now, let's say I am a farmer. Now I have all of these animals. Maybe what are the symptoms or signs I should look for? Just to point out, so it's okay. This livestock might have FMD.
Okay. So the apparent signs that you see in these animals, first of all, you'll start seeing what you call blistering. Okay, blistering, amajamuza. You start seeing amajamuza around the mouth. That's why they call it foot and mouth.
Okay.
She will start seeing amajamoza around the mouth. You also see the sores and amajamoza around the hooves as well. And then you start seeing lameness as well. Normally in cattle, you will find them, they're difficult to stand. So they'll be lying down because of the sores, is low and that's rather around the hooves. And you'll start seeing the temperature, the body temperature of an animal start to increase now. Okay. Beyond 40 degrees Celsius. And also start seeing decline in food intake. Okay. So animal now, they start now not eating because now they are sick. Okay. So all these signs, they've got a huge impact in terms of productivity of the farm. And to the smaller ones like calves and kids, to those young goats, okay, and lambs, those ones, they can even die because of this, of this disease. Yet the older ones, they can able to recover maybe after 2 or 3 weeks. Okay. If obviously you are taking good care of them in terms of quarantining them as well and giving them proper husbandry practices in your farm. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, that is very insightful. Now, I know what today had as a vaccine, and maybe you will tell us more about that a little bit later on. But now I wanted to look at the impacts maybe this might have had on maybe small scale farmers in South Africa. Maybe what was the impact? Because I know, this really impacted them.
It impacted them very seriously, particularly smallholder farmers who rely largely on these animals for their livelihoods.
Mm.
Yeah, remember, smallholder farmers, they sell these cattle and sheep and goats in auctions for them to make the end meet. Mm. So now, if there is an outbreak of this disease and they are told that they can't move their animals, so meaning they can't sell them. Mm. So if they can't sell them, then that means now they're going to have animals that they can't make, unless they're going to consume them for the household consumption. But in terms of cash flow, they can't now do anything with that. So it also means that even someone, maybe, let's say you are small to medium farm and you are employing people around your area. And if you can't sell, that means you can't pay for these people. So meaning people start losing jobs as well. So it has a huge impact in terms of livelihoods of smallholder farmers. And also the nature of how smallholder farmers keep animals. You know, but so they interact with others. They are interacting with Inkomo's Gajamin because they are all staying in Majlilwane. So it makes also even to control the spread of disease become even more difficult for smallholder farmers, which has a very significant impact in terms of controlling this disease at a smallholder production system.
Mm. Now, I know we did speak about maybe the fast transmission of this disease. Maybe how fast is it? Because I think that is also something we should look into. Guti, how fast does it infect other animals that say they make contact?
Oh, this disease is very highly contagious, my brother, because it can spread in different forms.
Mm.
So it spreads through contact. If one animal get in contact with another animal, spread that way. That's the most common one. And then the second common one is that it will spread what you call a fomite. What do I mean by that? For example, let's say this table here is infected by FMD. Okay. And I come and touch this table. And I will carry that FMD and I go and work with my animals. Then the animals will get infected.
Mm.
So meaning now it can also get infected mechanically. So if, for example, I'm going to Farmer's Day, I'm a cattle farmer, I go to Farmer's Days where there are different farmers who are there as well. So I go there, then I do a handshake to one farmer, and that farmer maybe is carrying it in their hands.
Mm.
Understand? And maybe I don't follow the sanitary protocols of washing my disinfecting my hands. I can easily, or maybe in my boots as well, or in my clothes. So I can easily carry it that way. Hence, normally when we raise awareness about this spread of diseases, that even people themselves, it's not only animal movement, but even us as people in ensuring that we become strict in terms of what sanitary protocols to ensure that we limit the spread of this disease. The another one, which is quite rare though, is that the disease can spread through the air, but it can only spread through the air in a conducive environment where maybe it's cold or humid environments, those kind of areas. So it can travel long distances. But because we're in sub-Saharan Africa, it's quite hot. So such incidents are not really common. So normally you will see it transferring through contacts or through animal. So contacts mostly is through animal movements. Yeah. So that's why they say it travels very fast or it transferred very fast, because animal movement, you are taking your animals to auctions. You are taking animals to shows. Okay. You are taking your animals to abattoir. That's where now you start seeing the traces of this disease spreading. And that's why it spread very fast, because of different ways of to which it can spread.
Now, this is very insightful, Doc. Now, maybe I want us to look at, because KZN is one of the seven provinces that were highly impacted by this disease, by this outbreak. Maybe how was the impact of this in KZN?
Yes, KZN has been known as an epicenter of this disease, particularly in north of KZN, Umkhanyakude district, like when you talk of Uchozini, Mkhuze, Hluhluwe, Mthubathuba, all those areas. That's where the epicenter is in KZN. And it has a huge impact in different forms, socioeconomically, as I've indicated earlier. That's an impact. And also culturally, my brother, the lobolos, now we can't do lobola now, isn't it? Because now we can't move animals from post shift team to Mthubathuba. Because now that's animal movement. We don't want to do that.
See, I spread.
So you are spreading it if you are doing that. You understand? So you can now take your animals from Hluhluwe to the abattoir in Port Shepstone, okay, where they'll be slaughtered, because now we are spread. So government has strict regulations in terms of movement of it. So if that happens now, it means now people of KwaZulu-Natal, they'll start now losing jobs at this point in time. Okay. So meaning people now, they're not going to get married in this point in time as well. So yes.
That is very insightful. But also I want us to touch on maybe, because you're touching on how the government is trying to help people by saying, putting these measures in place. But now, let's say I'm a farmer by myself. Maybe what steps can I take as a farmer right now to protect my livestock?
We normally say biosecurity is a first line of defense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Meaning that when you say biosecurity, meaning you are protecting yourself against the introduction of this disease, okay?
Yes.
So what is that? Meaning that you need to ensure that you disinfect your working gear that you use it to when you're working with animals, okay? Your overalls, ensure that you change your overalls. Let's say maybe you have got certain overalls that you use for animals, use them specifically for animals. Don't use it for other purposes as well. Okay. Ensure that you must have a disinfectant, liquid disinfectant, where you dip your boots as well, and you wash your hands, okay? And limit unnecessary visitors to your farm. Don't allow anyone to come and say, I just want to see your beautiful cattle. They are so cute. I want to go and see them. Don't allow that, because you don't know what that person carries. Mechanically, so I find that maybe the post that person is wearing, fecal samples of what of an infected animal, but you don't know that. But because you allow that person to come to a farm, you can easily care. So ensure that you limit the movement of visitors, and also you limit what the movement of your animals as well. As a first line of defense, okay. So you limit the movement of animal. We limit also the visitors. And if you happen to find that we've got this disease, report it as early as possible so that we can able to combat the spread of it.
Nice. But now, is there any way of getting out? Because we still speak about vaccines. Are there vaccines for this disease that maybe farmers can get, and how can they access those?
The vaccines, I heard that Agriculture Research Council in Pretoria, they've developed a vaccine. There's an ongoing rollout now. Wow. I think the Minister of Agriculture is all over the country doing a rollout of this vaccine. And there's some other countries also in Europe that are assisting us in ensuring that we keep up with the numbers of cattle in terms of vaccinating all of them. Remember, we've got a lot of cattle. Like 4 million was not alone. Yep. So it's a lot. So we are trying to, I think government is doing by all means to assist in ensuring that there's a rollout of this vaccine. I think it's ongoing now as we speak.
Wow. Yeah. That is amazing. Doc, we've taken so much of your time. Maybe before I let you go, anything that you would like to add?
I think maybe just to the listeners, man. Once the best, I think, is that biosecurity is a very key thing that we smallholder farmers normally overlook it.
Mm.
Yeah, so we need to start valuing our animals so much that we start taking biosecurity serious.
Mm.
Okay. No, biosecurity meaning protecting your animals against any potential introduction of a disease.
Wow.
Yes. Don't allow people to come to your farm. Okay. Mm. And ensure that you also change. We have clothes that you are working with in your farm. We don't use those clothes elsewhere. Having I'm at tips where if a vehicle comes to your farm, you must dip that vehicle and disinfect that vehicle. And you must also dip your feet as well. Okay. Wash your hands regularly. Mm. Wash the equipment that you use as well within your farm regularly as well, using a disinfectant. And should you see potential signs of the disease that I've indicated earlier, please report those ones as early as possible to the department officials. I think that's, and also most importantly, limit movement. Don't move your animals unnecessarily, because that will put you into stress trouble in terms of your sales as a farm, and also in terms of consumption. If you maybe we are selling them for consumption. Yes.
Doc, thank you very much for joining us on MUT Radio. We really appreciate it. This was Dr. Ncobelo joining us live right here on MUT Radio. If you got here a little bit late, this interview will be there on our podcast. Just download the MUT.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.